In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. A very simple gospel reading, repeated twice in a row. This is very unusual in our church, but it's very profound. It's on the eve, of course, as you know, we're going to begin in just 2 weeks, the fast of the Nativity. And I'll expect no one in this church who is not fasting to approach for communion. That's always been the case. I will condemn you before the Lord if you should do so. It's time to fast. In our church, we fast. When it's time to feast, we feast. We do so with an open heart in both these conditions. We give to the Lord when he asks to receive from what he has worked so hard, meaning us, to establish. So keep that in mind. But typically, when you hear a sermon about what is said, you hear about the stages of different souls. And some souls, you know, have had experiences that others have not. And sometimes I believe the Lord will indeed make an excuse for such. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about what is the expectation of the Lord that is echoed throughout the centuries in this psalm. Do thou, meaning you, God, make her furrows drunk with water. The word drunk is inebriated. To be inebriated means to be chemically excited in today's language. What is a drunk? A person who is drunk on cocaine or alcohol or fentanyl. Someone who is out of their mind having used a drug. But it's a very excited state. So I want you to understand the very old implications of being drunk. To be drunk with love is exactly the same thing, except it's not pernicious. It's not hurtful, unless it's taken to an extreme in its effects. But make her furrows drunk with water. Multiply her fruits. Now, what is a furrow? If you look at some old people and you see the lines on their forehead, they have furrowed brows. They have creases. They have made those creases in their own head. A lot of women now use Botox. They're trying to eliminate all that. But if you look at an old woman or an old man, you will see a furrowed brow. The furrow in this case is something that is intentional. The Lord is not speaking about agronomy or agriculture, Anton. But when I spoke to you about people not knowing when they have compacted the seasons of the year into one prayer instead of the three separate prayers, it's because the symbol of working in the ground is something that is so elemental to the one that performs it that you cannot escape the meaning. When a furrow is drunk with water, it means the earth has been tilled. It's been broken up. It's been terraced. I've seen mountains where people would farm on mountains that had a 45 degree angle, and they would move into the mountain about 6 feet only to reclaim land. And all around the mountain at heights of about 10 feet was a 6 foot indentation. If that mountain were laid flat, these would be called furrows. You make a furrow so it will capture. Capture what? Is the Lord concerned with agriculture? He, He says a word and things rise where there was nothing before. He says a word and barren trees bear fruit. He says a word and man is filled with food from heaven. It's not concerned with this, but we are. And so he speaks to us in this language. When we make furrows in our own soul, it is like you taking your hand and indenting it in clay and then pulling apart, you will see the lines and the depth depending on the strength of the person and how deep he presses into the clay. If you think of that as your own soul, you will then know how the one who has done that very thing receives the word of God. It is a seed, and as the Lord is sowing his seeds, the one who has made furrows in his soul is the one who is going to find that seed planted deeply, and the furrow is going to be excited by the amount of water. You know, I was making a joke the other day. I was washing some grapes that we purchased from the store, and the grapes were really dirty. And as I was washing them, I was thinking, you know what I'm really doing? I'm turning this dirt into mud. So I will have eaten muddy grapes, not grapes with dirt. But in this case, what happens in a functional matter is when the water rises up, it causes the sides of the furrow to collapse over and become a covering on that seed. And the seed is protected, and birds cannot get to it. And because it has been done so, the seed will multiply in her fruit. You know, we read in the very first psalm about the man who doesn't walk or stand or sit by evil people, right? He is like the tree that is planted by the streams of waters, and his leaf will not fall, and whatsoever he may do will prosper. Not so the ungodly, not so, but rather they are like the chaff which the wind hurl away from the earth. But because it's been wrapped in Mother Earth. And by the way, in all symbology, the sun is a masculine force, and the earth is a female force. And the force of covering, I told you this before, and I know none of you heard it before. The word for womb is the same exact root for the word in Arabic when we say God is so generous in his blessing towards us. Because the womb is a covering. It keeps us when we are so defenseless and so weak. It keeps us. And it's the bearing of love that covers us from our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's written that in her showers she be glad when she sprouteth forth. Now, is God talking about earth, or is he talking about us? He's talking about us, because the gospel goes on to talk about the types of souls of men. He's talking about people. So what are we going to be glad when things sprout forth? Remember what it says, that in heaven there's more rejoicing of a sinner who turns to righteousness than hundreds of other righteous people, because they are righteous already. But when you see somebody in your life who turns from a bad way into a good way, it uplifts you. And so it says here, she will be glad when she sprouteth forth. What is the she that we are talking about? It's the Spirit of God. You remember Fotini? We have a picture of her, the Samaritan woman, who is back there in the icon in the back. And nobody looks at these very expensive icons. Shame on all of you. She's by the well. And the Lord says to her, if you had asked him who had the ability, he would have given you living water and you would never thirst again. Oh, give me that water that I may drink, that I don't have to come into the well and draw water anymore. Ah, what is that water? It's the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. The message is the Word of God. We use this word in English exactly. The Word of God fructifies. I know you haven't heard this word before. Fructifies. It means brings forth fruit. Brings forth fruit. How? Because in your relations with other people, if you are that fruit, you will have an effect upon them. My father of confession gives me work to do between confessions. And this last confession, he said, I want you to read the 14 epistles of St. Paul. Now be lucky that you don't have him for your father of confession, because I doubt that any of you are going to be reading the 14 letters of St. Paul. But I did. And I say this because obedience is a profound gift. Obedience is a profound gift. And I'm happy to have received it. But what's the meaning? St. Paul, in all of his letters, in every single one, from Romans, Corinthians, First and Second Corinthians, First and Second Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, all of these epistles, he has said, you are the ones who I am expecting to raise the weak. So suppose you in this symbol of the three types of soil, you're the one who is good ground. What are you doing now to raise the one who has been so completely unconcerned with the gift that God gave him, that his soil was able to be trampled and trodden over, so it is so hard that when the seed hits it, it is like hitting a rock. It just bounces. And there it is, barren. It's not in a furrow. It's not been watered in a luxuriant manner of ebriation. The earth has not covered over it. It's there. So people hear the word of God, then they leave and they go right back to what they were doing. The word, I was speaking with a Bona Daniel Habib. I call him Father Love. So he was telling me that he had read somewhere about one of the dangers of church. You go to church and you hear something, and it's like an inoculation. You know, when you get an inoculation, you get a little bit of the diseased portion of something. It's in a weakened state, and your immune system has a chance to develop antibodies so that when the real disease comes in its full power, you may have something to resist it with. That's what church does. People know a little bit about the Bible. You don't really read the Bible. None of you really read the whole Bible every year, but you should. And when you read the Bible, you are not taking just a little bit, you take the whole thing. And so it opens you up, because you cannot deny when you will see your own face on the pages of that Bible, written for you particularly, meant for you to understand. So people hear a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then when somebody says, oh, Jesus loves you, I've been there, done that. Jesus cares for you. Jesus is looking for your repentance. Jesus is looking for your reconciliation. Jesus is looking for your eternity. Jesus what? Don't give me that Jesus stuff. And so then what do they listen to? Anything else. Because they've had just a little bit here and a little bit there, and they have inoculated themselves against the gospel of Christ. Well, we aren't this way in our aspirations. I know no one is desirous of the end of people who resist God unto the end. But St. Paul says that each one who is strong, and that just means a little bit stronger than someone else. Somebody asked me the other day about tying shoelaces. How do you tie my grandson's shoelaces? Not the big one. He ties my shoelaces. But the little one, I tie his shoelaces. How do I do that? I can't bend over to do it. So I sit down next to him and he puts his shoe in my lap and I tie it that way because I'm a little bit stronger than my grandson Gio. I'm not as strong as my grandson Joshua, but I'm a little bit stronger than Gio. So the ones in this church who are a little bit stronger than someone else, when they see that weakness exposed, you do not take pride in it. You do not take satisfaction in it. You try to ameliorate it by giving them advice and help. And when I say advice, I mean the kind of advice that is in motion, not just that which is performed with tongue and lips. So it says, thou shalt bless the crown of the year with goodness. To bless the crown of the year means what? It means that as the people rise up, and by the way, people have heard, you know, that the second group of soil, that they are like the wheat that is growing up amongst thorns, or they use two other words. They use tares, T-A-R-E-S. And they use zizania. I don't even know the etymology of that. I don't have a computer, so I can't look it up. But apparently, wild wheat, not cultivated wheat, wild wheat, when it is growing, looks exactly the same as good wheat. So if you try to remove it in the beginning stages, you will also cut down some of the good wheat. So the Lord has said in another place in the gospel, in St. Matthew chapter 13, I believe, that you will wait until the time of the harvest and then separate it. Now, what does this mean? What is the time of the harvest? The time of the harvest is going to be your reconciliation with God. If you see an old person, typically, their harvest is coming sooner. If you see a young person, typically, their harvest is coming later. But you can take a look at the age of somebody. Take a look at me. My harvest is coming. My harvest is coming. My time of harvest is coming. And so when that time comes, the Lord is going to remove from me the tares, the thistles, the zizania. And if there is enough, he will make something out of me that will be good for everyone. It's written, the plains will be filled with fatness. Those are the successful churches. You know, we have hundreds of churches. And yet one church. Hundreds of different places of prayer, but one prayer. We have all kinds of petitions, but to one Lord. And if you remember these things, then you remember that no matter what state you find yourself in, you can improve. And you may be of use to God and to His church by helping somebody that you see is on a little lesser stage. And glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.